preparing for what lies ahead today on The Balanced Word.
Hey, Jesus may come tomorrow, and that would be great, but he hasn't yet. It's been a couple of thousand years. I believe he could come tomorrow, but I want him to find me getting ready for 10 years from now when he comes. I want him to see that I'm being responsible today because I want, with everything that is within me, for my life to be one that doesn't deteriorate into evil because of my laziness, because of my disobedience, because of my neglect, because I'm just not ready. I'm not prepared. So today, I have a full-time job to get my heart prepared.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands and the instrument I play. Wake up my voice. Let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
As we get older, we tend to notice how quickly life goes by. Before you know it, we'll all be gone from this earth. But will we be prepared for what lies ahead? Most are not prepared or ready, just like the man we'll run across today in our study of 2 Chronicles. The summary of Rehoboam's life is rather sad. He was evil because he did not prepare his heart to seek the Lord. Not the sort of epitaph one can be proud of, huh? Now let's see together how to prepare our heart to seek the Lord as we join Dave Rolfe in chapter 12 of 2 Chronicles.
The problem with Rehoboam and the problem with many of us much of the time is that we don't think about preparation. We don't think about what we do now has consequences later. And so life just surprises us. Life just sneaks up on us and we say, where did that come from? Oh, if you're a boxing fan, you can watch the good boxers and you can decide, you know what? I think I could be a boxer. So first thing I need to do is I need to come up with a really gruesome nickname. And so the killer, the strangler, the bruiser, or something like that. And then have it stitched into this beautiful robe and have tassels coming from my shoes, fancy trunks. And I need to practice being interviewed so that I can sound really intimidating. And then I'm going to get myself to where I can jump over the top rope when I come in the ring and then do a backflip. That'll impress people. And then I really need to work on my stare, that mean look across the ring that'll just cause anyone to shudder. And then when the two fighters come to the middle of the ring and hear the instructions, man, I'm going to be growling and intimidating so much. This is going to be really good. And then you get to that day, and sure enough, it's working all like you planned. Until the bell rings, and you realize, uh-oh, I never learned to box. I have no idea. How do you hit someone? How does this? Man, you looked really good. But somehow something was left by the wayside. And the truth is, in many of our lives spiritually, we find ourselves in that kind of a spot where we're going through the motions, we're looking good, everything seems okay, but really we've neglected the most important preparations. And we find ourselves in a situation, a trial, a temptation, a testing, and the scripture isn't there. And the results of a prepared life, it's not there. And we feel like, oh, shoot, what do I do now? What's happening? The prepared life is something that if we don't have it, we're going to be a victim. If we don't plan, we're basically planning to fail. That's what it comes down to. Now, as opposed to Rehoboam here, Ezra was a guy, we'll be studying him next after we finish Chronicles. Ezra is a guy that God raised up to lead the rebuilding of the temple there in Jerusalem. And we read over in Ezra chapter 7, we get a different picture of this guy as a leader. Ezra chapter 7, it says in verse 6, this Ezra came up from Babylon, and he was a skilled scribe in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given. So he was a skilled guy who had really studied the word. And down in verse 10, it says, for Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, and to do it, and to teach statutes and ordinances in Israel. There in Babylon, everyone thought to study the law was kind of a dumb thing to do. We don't have a temple. The temple's been destroyed. We're living here in Babylon. We've been here for a long time. What's the point in studying? And yet here's Ezra, this guy who by the Babylonians' standard was a nerd, studying something that had no practical application at all. and yet he was pouring through the law of God. He was learning what God had to say. So boom, all of a sudden the door is open. You can go back to Jerusalem, and he was ready, and his heart had been prepared. See, we don't know what's going to happen in the future. But if we want to be prepared, our hearts need to be prepared. And that preparation is studying the Word of God, for one thing, knowing what it says. It's too late when you get into the spot. You know, there have been times, I'm sure you've experienced this, where you find yourself in a situation and somebody asks a question and it's perfect. You were just reading a scripture verse yesterday that addresses that issue, or you just heard a Bible study on K-Wave just a few minutes ago and they dealt with that, and you're just so happy to be able to share that which God had placed in there. But you've also, like me, been in a spot where someone asks you a question and you're like, I know it says something somewhere. Where is that in the Bible, or is it in the Constitution? What's the, and, you know, instead of going, you know what God says, here it is, we're like, panicking, going, I know it's in here somewhere. Hang on just a second. I have a perfect, my concordance. Oh, no, it doesn't have that word. What other word might be? And we're feeling like, oh, man. If I had only studied beforehand, if I had known what was coming, I would have been prepared. But that's why it's so important to let God prepare us, because he does know what's coming. And if we just keep doing things the way we're doing them, we're not going to be ready for what he wants to do in our lives. Jesus, one day, he had given the disciples the power to go do some healing and to cast out demons. And so the disciples were enjoying that, kind of tripping out on it. And it was a nice thing to be able to do, help people that way. But one time they came across this boy and they couldn't cast the demons out of the kid. And so the kid's dad finally goes, you guys don't know what you're doing. I need to go to your manager. Where's your boss? And came to Jesus, and Jesus, my son's demon possessed, and these guys of yours, your assistants, they're just not cutting it. It's not helping. And Jesus just with a word cast the demons out. And afterwards the disciples came to him and said, okay, how'd you do that? Did we have the terminology down? Did we say the wrong thing? How come you were able to do it so easily and we were not able to do it? And Jesus said, this kind doesn't come out except by prayer and fasting. Now Jesus didn't, when he was confronted with the demoniac, he didn't say, hang on just a minute, I need to pray. He didn't even pray. He didn't say, okay, wait a minute, I'm going to fast. When I start feeling a little hungrier, I think we can do this. No, prayer and fasting had just been a normal part of his life. And so his heart was prepared to do what was going to need to be done. He was prepared ahead of time. What he was telling the disciples is, why don't you get ready and train as a matter of course, as a matter of life? And then you'll find out when the situation arrives, you'll be ready to do what you need to do. There are some things that you'd think, I don't know how to prepare for what's going to happen. Well, what needs to be prepared is you, your heart, my heart. And then we'll be ready for things that we would have thought we could never have handled, because God got us ready. He trained us. He prepared us. Laziness and neglect, these are things that will completely get your life off track ultimately. Not dealing with those problems. Not dealing with the disciplines of the Christian life, prayer and fasting and giving and all of these things, meditation, things that the Bible assumes that we should do. And yet if we don't do them, we'll find out we're not ready for what's coming in the future. Preparation is so important. But it's preparation of his heart. His heart wasn't prepared, didn't prepare his heart. The heart biblically refers to the center of who you are, the real you. It's as opposed to the surface. There's a you that you kind of present out there on the fringes, a you that you want people to believe in. But the heart is who you really are deep down inside. This is your nature. This is the real you. It's what, again, the children of Israel were commanded in Deuteronomy 6 to love the Lord your God with all your heart. That is, with everything that you are. What the heart means is it's saying, forget all that stuff that you're faking. Forget all of those things in which you're trying to depict yourself in a way that isn't real. All that phoniness, all of that lack of integrity, that hypocrisy, get it out of the way and get to the heart. Your heart needs to be prepared. You need to be prepared at the very essence of your being. And that means you have to open yourself up. You have to be vulnerable. You have to allow God to get into those inner recesses of your life. and confront you and help you and prepare you. Otherwise, for sure, you'll fall. For sure, you'll be evil. You'll do awful, horrible things eventually if you don't allow God to sink into your heart. You don't allow him to be there at the depths of who you are. And so, again, this is something that Rehoboam never learned. He cared about what people thought of him. In fact, in chapter 12, we read that the king of Egypt took away, verse 9, the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house. He took everything. He also carried away the gold shields which Solomon had made. Solomon had made all these gold shields, some huge ones and some smaller ones. If you laid them all side by side, they would cover 3 football fields. That's how many solid gold, pure gold shields he hammered out. And when he would go in to worship God, the guards would hold these gold shields and they would sparkle, and it spoke of God's purity and of his divinity and the wealth that's in God. It was a great statement. It wasn't Solomon's idea to make them. It was God's idea. He had a purpose behind them. Now this king of Egypt went and ripped them off. And so what does Rehoboam do? Verse 10, King Rehoboam made bronze shields in their place and committed them to the hands of the captains of the guard who guarded the doorway of the king's house. And whenever the king entered the house of the Lord, the guard would go and bring them out. Then they would take them back into the guard room. So he's gone, whoops, lost the gold shields. But, you know, brass, if you polish it really hard, you work really solid on it, and it can, in the right light, almost look like gold. Maybe no one will notice the difference. But I don't want these to get ripped off, so we're not going to have guards actually use them. We're just going to fake it. So when I'm ready to come in, they'll go run and get these fake shields and hold them up, and we'll have a great ceremony, and then they'll go lock them up again to make sure that no one steals their shield. Brass instead of gold. Oh, brass might look like gold, but it tarnishes. And it's just not the same. And it's heavier. It's a more weighty sort of a thing. And it's like, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? Oh, Rehoboam knew why he was doing it. He cared more about how he looked than about how he was. So he didn't go to the Lord and pray and say, God, help. Could you get our gold shields back? He's like, no, it's okay, God. You know, they have our shields. We'll make them out of brass. And this is what happens when we don't prepare, when we're not spending time with the Lord, we're not studying his word, we're not praying and fasting and doing the things that he tells us to do to be prepared. Our heart gets lost in a big show, in just playing games and pretending. And we build this enormous and burdensome system. And ultimately what we're doing is polishing the brass on a sinking ship. It's going down. It's not going to work. It's not really going to fool very many people. But, oh well, I'd rather look good than to be good. I'd rather allow myself to be a phony than to let people see that I'm a failure. And so, again, Rehoboam, he had opportunities. But deep in his heart, he wouldn't prepare himself. He wouldn't pay the price that it takes to wait for God to do something for me. I'm just going to stay faithful in what I'm doing now. Instead, he's going, now we can fix this. We can make this work. We can patch it up. It'll be like it never happened. It's okay. And I'm telling you, not one of us, none of us have the kind of energy level whereby we can continue to prepare our hearts and at the same time, we can put up a good front for others. Putting up a good front for others is a full-time job. And so if what you want to do is just to affect what people think of you and worry about what they're thinking of you, then you're going to be busy doing that. But what will happen is you'll be neglecting the preparation that's really in the heart. You'll be worrying too much about people to really pay attention to God and to what he's saying. And so, like Rehoboam, sad to say, the result will be evil. The result will be that you'll find yourself doing things that you'd swear you'd never do, that you thought you were absolutely incapable of. And it didn't happen because you planned on doing something bad. It happened because the things that you were doing took you away from that which you really needed to be doing, and that is worrying about your heart with God and preparing, doing those things now because of the payoff that's going to happen later. And so instead, we find ourselves in misery today because of what we did in the past. And we can sit and moan and groan about it and say, it's not fair. I'm suffering for what I did in my BC days, or I'm suffering because somebody else made me do it, or they were so bad to be, or I'm a victim or whatever. Hey, all that may be true. But the fact is, if you allow what's hurt you in the past that messed up your present to keep you from making preparations today for your future, then tomorrow is going to be the same story. The evil will always be there. I'd love to tell you that, no, you just lie back and it's just going to happen naturally and you don't have to do anything. Just let go and let God. It's like you're floating in the water and everything's going to happen. But sorry, nobody's going to take care of what you're supposed to be doing today. And sometimes, even though you're hurt and even though you're struggling, you have to suck it up and realize tomorrow may come. Hey, Jesus may come tomorrow, and that would be great, but he hasn't yet. It's been a couple of thousand years. I believe he could come tomorrow, but I want him to find me getting ready for 10 years from now when he comes. I want him to see that I'm being responsible today because I want, with everything that is within me, for my life to be one that doesn't deteriorate into evil because of my laziness, because of my disobedience, because of my neglect, because I'm just not ready. I'm not prepared. And so today, I have a full-time job to get my heart prepared to seek the Lord. Seeking the Lord. It's not just trying to find him so you can get saved and then he'll leave you alone. Seeking the Lord is a process of life. It's something that every day, either we will seek him or we won't. Either we'll get to know him more or we'll know him less. It's the way it works. Over in Hebrews, it says that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So if God rewards those who diligently seek him, what does it say about those who just sort of seek him? Or those who just aren't really looking for anything at all? You'll miss rewards. You'll miss payday. You'll miss the blessing that can come from a life that's prepared to serve God. From a life that wants to get to know him aggressively in everything. Thanking him for everything because we know everything is being used to make us who God wants us to be. But it's us buckling down and saying, in case there's a future on this earth, I want to be ready to receive God's blessing by seeking him. I today am a victim of not so much even bad choices I've made, but just choices I didn't make, things I didn't do. And so I may find myself in a situation where, oh man, I'm flat broke. What do I do? Well, why don't you get a job? Yeah, but you know, for most jobs, you need to have an education. Well, why didn't you get an education? I don't know. I was so impressed with, you know, I thought I had future as a night manager at that fast food place, and it's just, it hasn't worked out quite. Well, hey, there's still a future. What are you doing today? And if what you're doing today is saying, God, I want my heart set after you, then God will let you know. He'll lead and guide you. You can listen to him, and he'll help you to be prepared for whatever the future holds. I don't know what the future holds. No one else does either except God. And so he says, look, seek me, follow me, stay plugged into me, and if you do that, you'll see. I'll go before you, and I'll make you look smart, even if you aren't. I'll cover up for you where it's needed, and I'll have you get dumb luck. I'll put you in the right place at the right time, because if you're seeking me, you'll find everything. Solomon learned that when he was asked, ask for anything, God said, and I'll give it to you. And Solomon said, what I want is wisdom to rule over your people. And God said, because you ask for that, I'm going to give you everything else as well. Jesus says, if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things that you worry about will be added unto you. He'll take care of you if you're seeking for the right thing at the right time, which is now. Or, like Rehoboam, you can end up empty. You can end up feeling like, man, I've just wasted my whole life. I have so many regrets, things I wish I had done back then. And then God will still say, you still have life. Are you doing anything now for the future? Are you taking a step toward me now? Are you trying to look like me now? Because that's ultimately what seeking him is. It's seeking to be like him, seeking to reflect him. And every day we make choices that will either cause that to happen in our lives or that will cause us to deteriorate and just look a little bit less like him and know him a little bit less. If you know him the same today as you did 3 years ago, you haven't really grown in your knowledge of God in that time, well, I have news for you. You know him a lot less than you think. Because if we're not moving forward with him, it's the thermodynamic laws are kicking in. The law of entropy, we're winding down and we're having less. Because time is slipping by and our opportunities with time. But today, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Today is the day when we need to say, you know what? Whatever I've done before, all bets are off now. And today, I want to be a person who's planning. I want to be a person who's preparing myself for the future, preparing my heart at the depths of my being to just seek after God. I'm going to quit trying to impress people. I'm going to quit playing games. I'm going to give up brass shields, and I'm just going to seek God. I just want to know him. I just want to please him. Nothing else matters. And if we do that, we'll do those things that prepare for the future, and we'll look back and say, man, I'm so glad that I was preparing my heart to seek for God. I'm so glad that my epitaph isn't, what a sad, wasted life, what squandered potential. It's never too late to turn things around. But today, the decisions that we make are going to determine tomorrow. You go, well, wait a minute, isn't God sovereign? Doesn't he determine everything? Yes. But one of the things that he determined is, this is your call. This is your shot. These are your choices, and he will allow you to make those choices, and he'll allow you to suffer the consequences of your choices. It's been true since the Garden of Eden. It was true even before the Garden of Eden when the angels had an opportunity to either rebel or follow and serve God, and they made that choice, many of them, to rebel. We all have that same fateful decision to make every day. So what are we going to do? Today, you may feel completely unprepared. But don't be that way tomorrow. Don't be that way next year. Start to prepare and realize that even though it doesn't feel like it works, it works. It's just a long-term proposition, that's all.
You're listening to Dave Rolfe on The Balanced Word, and he'll be right back. Today we've been talking about the importance of preparation and being ready spiritually. What we do now in the present will have consequences later, so let's be seeking the Lord with all of our heart. Today's study from 2 Chronicles can be heard again at thebalancedword.com. It's called Preparing Your Heart. Again at thebalancedword.com. We'd also like to offer you Pastor Dave's Through the Bible series on a USB thumb drive for a gift of $20 or more. Go through the Bible with Dave by ordering this special series today. Call 949-362-7475 or go to thebalancedword.com. Your gifts help to make these shows possible on stations like this one all across the nation. So thank you for standing with us with either a one-time gift or ongoing monthly support. Donations can be made at thebalancedword.com or again call 949-362-7475. Have you seen Pastor Dave's one-minute messages? Watch and listen to those at thebalancedword.com and even join our mailing list so you can have them delivered to you each day. You can also watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. We'd love to have you join us for a Sunday service at Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel. Our service times on Sunday morning are now at 8 and 10. Directions and more information about the church can be found online at ccpacifichills.org. And you can watch our live stream there too, ccpacifichills.org. If we can pray for you in any way, we ask that you contact us through thebalancedword.com or call us at 949-362-7475. Before we go, let's go to the Lord in prayer with Pastor Dave.
Lord, I pray that you will help us. We repent of the fact that much of our past we've wasted. We haven't made wise decisions, and as a result, there are a lot of messes in our lives. But Lord, I pray that today we will begin to prepare our hearts to seek you. to follow after you, to be more like you. Lord, what's past is past, but we want our future to be sold out completely for you. So help us to see the brass for what it is and to go for the gold. You. In Jesus' name, amen.
Join us back here tomorrow. Pastor Dave Rolfe will have another study in 2 Chronicles for us. Read ahead in chapter 12 and then plan to join us for the next Balanced Word. A presentation of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands. And yeah.